Jacob, I saw in the news that it is testing season. How is that impacting your week at school? Does it change as a principal? Does it change the way you go about things, or is everything just the same, or what's happening during testing at your school? Because I talked to a teacher the other day and I called her. I hadn't talked to her in a while, and she goes, I said, how are you doing? She goes, I am under stress from all this testing. And she's teaching little third graders how to take their first test. So she's under a lot of stress. So what about high school?
That's what we need more of. We need more third graders taking tests. We need more third graders getting on a computer to answer multiple choice questions. That's what we need more of in education. It's going to fix the education system. We just need a little bit more of kids doing that, and then everything's cake. Anyway, testing for...
Yes, that was your rant.
Testing, I mean, it is different as an admin, specifically at a high school, because it's, you know, now everything's digital. So there's, you know, you're not passing out like testing things. We have a testing coordinator that handles pretty much everything. We have there's like a testing office where they get all their buckets. So everything's kind of done outside of the realm of kind of where I'm at. So our job during testing, like for this week, you know, we're doing our STAR test for English 1 and English 2. The test is going on, but the rest of the campus isn't. And so we have a 4-story building. So the very top is where all the testing is happening. And so we relocate some of those classes, and then the rest of the school is just functioning literally as it would, just without bells. And then what happens is the kids show up to testing. When they don't, we get a list, and all the APs that aren't doing testing get on the phone, and we start calling families. Hi, your kid is not here for testing today. They will have to retest on this day. And so we become like the call center, if you will, to make sure that these kids are taking the test the moment they have to. But we're still, honestly, like, my job is kind of the same, other than having to make a bunch of phone calls and sometimes track down kids that are in classrooms that should be in a testing room, or handling like an issue. Like, we have kids that are assigned to our alternative campus that come in for testing, and so we have to like escort them out of the building because they're technically not supposed to be there, but it's just easier to have them test on campus. Everything kind of stays the same. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, do I hate making, you know, 50 phone calls in order to track down kids for state testing? 100% I do. Do I hate it as much as, you know, do I like doing that? Not necessarily, but as a teacher, you know, one of the things that I hate the most, like when kids are doing the test, it's fine. It's boring, but it is what it is. But it's that holding pattern when there's one kid left, or there's one kid left on the hall or whatever, and then the test just drags, and then you have to, you know, kids can't play. They can't do anything except read, sleep, or draw. And so, like, that was always my personal hell, because I wasn't strict enough to keep them quiet. And every year as a teacher, I got in trouble. Chastain.
Every year?
Your kids are loud.
Even when I was there?
Even when you were there. I always got told my kids were too loud. I'm like, oh, what? You come in here and quiet them now. Like, oh, it's me doing football games with them. So, so yeah, it does change some things, but not really. You know, I'm more interested in just supporting teachers, helping them, you know, have a good day, helping our testing coordinator as much as we can. But really, it doesn't change a whole lot at the high school level. I would imagine at the middle school level, it changes a whole lot, because it's just the whole campus kind of shuts down. And the APs, there's really not a testing coordinator at the middle school. In elementary, I imagine it's different too. But where I'm at currently, it's kind of like this weird thing where all the testing's happening up top and the rest of the world continues on.
Well, I remember when I was in my 20s and we were testing. So what they would do is they would have the seniors didn't have to test. So they would tell the seniors they didn't have to be there until like the afternoon or something. And so I would be walking down the hallway, you know, for whatever reason. And if I didn't have a class or something, and I would get stopped inevitably, you know, you're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be here. And I turn around and they go, oh, because I have my name badge because it was a big school and not everybody knew who I was. I was in my 20s, so I still look pretty young. Not today, not today. Now, but
that, our campus
I used to get
huge.
In trouble.
There's times I have. The hall. Yeah, there's. I don't know. It's testing is a horrible thing, no matter what level you're at. And I think there's benefits to both, but it is a lot. And you just see these kids like by the time they reach high school, they've gone through this so many times. Mm-hmm. They're just like, whatever, just put the test in front of me. And, you know, and they're EOC, so they're long tests.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It really is. But, you know.
So when did they do the AP testing? Is that's coming up towards the end, right?
Yeah, they haven't done it yet. I probably should know the date off the top of my head, but I don't.
No, it's okay. Usually I know that when we did Spanish, it was usually around. Because, you know, we did the Spanish at the middle school level. Mm-hmm. It was usually around May, the second week of May. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up. That's another testing that's just strenuous and very strict. And I was always the coordinator for that. It was very nerve-wracking because especially at the middle school level, nobody understood how important it was what we were doing. And mm-hmm. So especially when we were at the school where you and I were academic coaches, and nobody really got it. And so it was a pain to get other teachers, you know, because I had to square off the library, and I had to make sure I had all of those on the calendar, and I did, but I couldn't use the computer area at the same time I did the library area. So people would say, oh, the computer area is open, and I'd have it all ready and set up, and people would come in anyway. Because they didn't care. I don't know if they didn't care. They just didn't really understand. And my principals didn't understand either because most of them hadn't been in high school, my assistant principals. So they hadn't done all that testing, the AP testing. So I don't think they understood either. So it was a pain. Yep. So even, especially when algebra and that overlapped, and we had to make all the algebra students take the AP test first. And it really made my testing coordinator, the assistant principal, very angry about that because didn't quite understand. So he let them just do whatever. And our district had taken us off campus for some kind of training. So I had to put somebody who didn't know what they were doing in charge. And then we had a big to do. And when I came back, he was like, well, you're not my pay grade or something. It was real kind of rude to me. And I really looked into the pay grade. And at that time in my career, I actually made more money than him. So I was just like, yeah, don't even go there with me because you just started. I make more than you, buddy. So it was just kind of funny. So, because I did. And, you know, I mean, I didn't make as much as an actual principal, but when you put all that extra salary and all that for the instructional coach, plus all my years of experience, it added up. So I had to go back and go, you know what? You need to do what I say. I just threw it back at them. But I hated testing, especially as a coordinator, because it was so strict. And we had to, you know, you had a deadline to get it all mailed back. You had to double check everything. You were being audited. And I mean, it was rough. It could be rough. So didn't want it. So anyway, well, there you go, everybody. Here we are. I'm Jacob Chastain. I'm not. You are. You're Jacob Chastain. I'm Pam Ochoa. And here we are messing up at Craft and Draft. I'm not. He's not. I am, I guess. But anyway, I'm flustered because I'm remembering that moment. I was so upset. It was so hard. But anyway, I shouldn't have brought up that question because it brought up all of those memories.
But I was going to say that this podcast is brought to you by you guys, by supporting us over there on Patreon. It's patreon.com/craftanddraft. We know money's tight as a teacher, but we do love our Patreon supporters. They get bonus content, bonus stuff, and they're going to see the video of this and all of our mess ups. I'll cut all the mess ups out for the audio listeners, but I'm going to keep the video and the technical difficulties in here. We somehow every time we do video, there's technical difficulties. Ochoa, do you realize that?
Yeah, and I don't understand
I just hate video. I've said teach me teacher. I've wanted to do video for so long. And I kind of do. Like the Teach Me Teacher Patreon, I release almost every video. But I don't do it out in the public because I just hate doing it. And I've always wanted to find someone that could just edit the videos for me, clean them up, do all that like I do the audio. But it's just a lot of work. Anyway, the people that support us over there on Patreon, they're going to see this. They're going to see what we're going to do on here. So it could be fun if you want that. If you want to jump in, support the podcast, you can do that. Bonus content, bonus episodes, videos, training videos, and so much more. They support us just like you can. They are Courtney, Destiny, Lori, and Alyssa, Rebecca, Susan, and Leah. They help us keep the lights on over here, and they are absolutely stunning individuals. So join them, ask them, say, hey guys, how's life? But let's get to the conversation. Alrighty, Ochoa. So today, let's see if I can make this work. Okay. We are going to take a quiz about how well or how much do we know about America's teachers. I figured we should be able to ace this test. But we'll see.
I may
not
know anybody. You never know. I mean, but maybe I'm living in an alternative world this whole time.
Yeah, and it's from Ed Week. So I figured the quiz is going to be a little accurate at the, you know, it may not be exact, but it'll probably be accurate enough for our purposes. Mm-hmm. But I figured we might hit on some of these answers as we go through here, and maybe it'll spark a conversation. Maybe we'll get through the whole thing and have nothing to say, but I imagine you and I will have some comments as we go through 10 questions. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to play a little bit today, just something different for the show, something to spice up testing season with a little bit of the world. All right, let's go. Let's see if I can share everything that's happening on my screen without you losing audio. So we're going to go to share. I'm going to click this. Sometimes when I do this, when we're recording, it'll say it won't share. Hey, it worked.
Yeah.
Sweet. So how much, hang on, let's go to the top. Look at this. How much do you know about America's teachers? Quiz yourself. March 6, 2024. So it's super recent.
Okay. Oh, in Norman, Oklahoma. My daughter-in-law used to teach in Oklahoma.
So I forgot to tell you this. On our last episode, guys, we talked about college readiness because I went and visited OSU and OU with our AVID kids. One of the things, so one of the kids that graduated from my high school that I work at, she was there, and so we talked to her and stuff. She said that Oklahoma, they go through their program, and they basically had to like be sworn in that they dedicate so many years to the school system.
Oh.
Like it's a part of the program. So it's like she got like, she said she'd like hand on the Bible and everything and be like, I will dedicate like 8 years. I don't know the number, but it's like, it wasn't like two, it was like five, six, seven or eight. It was something like that. And I was like, holy moly. I mean, talk about serious, but also no offense to Oklahoma teachers. You know, they went on strike for a reason for their salaries not too long ago. And so I wonder if that's a part of it. If they're just like, well, our state pay is kind of really low compared to competitive states. Let's just swear them in. That's where they can't leave.
Maybe.
I don't know. If we have some Oklahoma listeners, I would be correct me. Tell me your experience about that. That would be really fascinating to dive into. But so this says, if you're reading this, you know a teacher. You may even be one yourself. But how much do you really know about the profession that creates all others? The Ed Week Research Center surveyed a nationally representative sample of nearly 1,500 teachers in October about the intricacies of their jobs. Those findings, along with federal data, reveal the challenges and opportunities they are facing that are facing teachers today. And that's what we're going to test ourselves. So pretty good.
I wanted to comment on the profession that creates all others.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Hal Bowman is... Hal Bowman is, I had him on to speak, he's been on Teach Me Teacher twice. He's a big speaker. He does all kinds of stuff. He says that. He was like, teaching is the one profession that creates all others. So maybe we should take care of our teachers a little bit. Sorry. I felt like that took a long time to get out. Can you tell I'm tired?
No.
Nope, not at all. All right, here we go. Let's do this. How much do you know about America's Teachers Quiz? What is the average teaching salary? I have my guess.
I don't think it's 90,000.
No, that one's way too high. Unless for some reason, like some really high to live states had like disproportionate, like the average. Yeah. But I don't think because, so.
Yeah, I mean, because there is a difference between like you're talking about Oklahoma versus New York versus.
Yeah.
California and what they get paid, but the average I'm going to do the 66, maybe 50.
I was in between 66 and 50.
I'm thinking 50 might be too low now because I know that a lot of our teachers here start around 50 something, don't they? Isn't that the beginning?
Yeah, but now? See, that's my question.
They stay there for so long.
They do, but here's my thing is this asking the average like state salary? Because our state average is like 35 and then districts make up the rest for funding.
Okay, so you're going with 50?
Yeah, 50 is my final answer. You can do 66. We can figure out which one.
I think they're wanting to shock us a little bit. I'll do 66. You do 50. Right. Go ahead.
All right. I'll click 66 and then we'll see.
And watch it be 90 and I'm going to be freaked out over that.
Okay. We won't know until we submit.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you went ahead and put 6. You went with mine. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to go with yours. That's fine. Okay. I just wanted to lock in what I thought.
Lock it in, everybody.
Average student to teacher ratio for all grade levels. It has to be 20 to 1.
I'm thinking 20 to 1. That's exactly what I thought.
For all? It's 10 to 1 is zero chance. 16 to 1 is decent. It's either 25 or 20.
Yeah, but I'm thinking 20. Well, golly. Well, we're 25. Isn't it 25 to 1 in secondary here in Texas?
Yeah, I think that changed to be higher. But yeah, it's 25 to 1.
Yeah, there for a while. Okay, so.
Because we have classes that are bigger than that. I've always sat in classes that are bigger than that, but we definitely.
Oh, I've taught 42 to me.
Well,
before that was when, you know, because when these school districts were growing like crazy, they're busting at the seams. Sometimes that's how we were for a little while. And we built that third high school.
God, average for all grade levels. See, that's the trick. It's either 20 or 25. Which one do you feel?
I still think 20, but I'm really tempted to do 25. But I'm going to go with my original answer, 20, because I always talk myself out of my right answer. But it could be 25.
On a note, actually, you know what? Let's answer these and then we can go through and break
and talk
them
about
down.
Them.
Yeah.
All right.
About 55% of American students are students of color, while about 45% are white. What about what percentage of teachers are teachers of color? This one is a low percent.
I would say 30.
God, I'm leaning towards 20.
You're going to lean towards 20? Okay. Yeah. Go with 20 and let's see what it is.
I feel like it's 20.
Okay.
No, quit advertising to me. Half of teachers said that teacher morale at their school is worse than a year ago. I bet it's true.
Based on what we see. Mine was like that. I mean, I was enjoying everything. And then there at the end, it got kind of rough for me even. And I've been doing it for a long time.
I know.
And I love teaching. I love it. And yeah.
Teacher morale is shaped by multiple people in the school community. What group was rated by teachers as having the most impact on their work-related morale? School leaders, parents, students, principals. So they're differentiating school leaders and principals.
So school leader, you're like the department chairs?
Probably, maybe assistant
principals. Type thing? Mm-hmm. Assistant principals?
Maybe. God, this counselors. One, yeah, this one, I almost want to say students, but maybe not. Maybe principals.
I'm going to go with principals. Now, if they, I wish they'd have done district leaders, because that might change it too a little bit. You know, like district, like
for sure,
admin at the top. I think that can make a big difference.
I wish they would break this students down when they give us answers.
Okay. So the thing, and I know we can talk about this, but the parents, you're, they're either, to me, parents are not there hardly at all. Right?
Yeah.
Or because they have to work, like especially in our, you know, and then you have one or two that are just like, so the frustrating point about parents in like the schools that we worked in, not all, especially our kids that were really rough, a lot of them just, they had to work 2-3 jobs. That's why they weren't available to me. And then I worked at another school where the parents, like, they were at the school lockers when we were assigning lockers. That's how much they were involved in. And so, but I just really think a teacher is as strong as their principal, their backing. So I know that in my personal situation, my morale was shaped a lot by how my principal handled the whole school, because the students weren't a problem only until the principals quit helping me deal with them.
Yeah.
The really bad ones. I mean, I could handle a classroom. I don't know. I'm going to say principals.
Okay. Let's do that.
Or other teachers. It didn't say colleagues. It should have said colleagues. Because sometimes they can be kind of rough. I worked with one or two. Like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring you up. No, I'm just kidding.
I understand.
I'm just teasing. I'm teasing. All right. Go ahead.
True, false. Most teachers surveyed by the EdWeek Research Center said they would encourage their children to become teachers. False. It's got to be false, right?
I would say false. I hear that more like just people in general who teach. I told my my kids not to be a teacher.
Yeah.
But my mother encouraged me to be a teacher.
Well, if this one's true, then this one's false.
I agree.
Okay, true, false. Outside of teaching, teachers spend the most amount of time per week on planning and preparation.
Well, in my case, it was probably true. I don't know about today. I'm going to say true.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a safe one. Out of the two choices, what are the what are the top rated tasks?
I didn't
tasks?
Know we were being safe.
What were the top rated tasks that teachers surveyed said they wanted to spend more time doing? Well, we know it's not probably the first one.
Individual planning and preparation time.
Individual.
I don't think it's PD. No. I know it's not grading. I mean, I don't know. You might have wanted to grade more. I didn't. I like teamwork and planning with colleagues, but not everybody does. I'm going to go with the last one.
Yeah. Which is interesting because
they always, anytime I'd ask them to do something when I was in, this is their, and I'm like, time out. What do you mean time out? They go, no, we need more time. We need more time. I would get that all the time. We need time to plan. We don't have time to meet with you. I'm just going by my own experiences.
Well, that makes me want to change this answer, because it says outside of teaching, teachers spend most of the time per week on planning and preparation.
Well, yeah, but that's why the other one.
So
they want to spend more time during school. They want more time in school, individual planning, because they're doing so much outside of school. That's how I'm interpreting.
What
you don't think so?
I don't
know. We'll go with your answer. I don't mean to jump in there and take over.
No, you're good. It's fine.
All right.
I think it's good. I just don't know what else I would pick. I would probably maybe choose teamwork and planning. So remember that as my answer.
Okay.
What were the lowest rated tasks that teacher surveyed said they want to spend more time doing? Lowest rated tasks.
Committee work.
Yeah.
Faculty meetings.
God, these are lowest rated. Oh, I see. These are the top rated tasks. Okay. These are the low rating ones. So these are the ones people hate. So which one? I said they wanted to spend more time doing of the things. Meetings and committee work. There's no way that that's it.
Think great. Well, I don't know. I'll let you pick that one. I'm
gonna be quiet. I don't know. I think it's this one.
Okay.
More time.
I think that's the one they dread. I think that's what they dread the most. What do you think?
Yeah, I know, but it's the lowest. These are low rated tasks that they want to do more of. They definitely don't want to go.
They definitely don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's a weird question. That's why I think this may be right, because this is top rated tasks that people want to spend more time doing.
Okay. Well, what about grading?
See, grading's in both. No, I'm pulling rank on this one. I'm going communication. I might be wrong. Ooh. Good Lord.
Pull rank. Be that way.
God, we'll see. What would you pick, though? So if it wasn't for this one, what would you pick?
Well, I would say grading. I don't want to do it, but I mean, they usually are like, I don't have time. I got to do the grading, you know? So they're always grading at the meetings or grading while they're, you know, they're grading while they're talking to the parents on the phone. I could be wrong, but that was the old days.
True, false. Anyway. When teachers were asked what additional training they needed most right now, professional development on classroom management was one of the top rated sections.
True.
Probably. All right. You ready to see how well we did?
Yeah. Watch us get all of them wrong.
That's possible.
Okay.
We made it. 60%. We failed.
We failed. We don't know America's teachers.
Hey, we got the salary right.
Okay.
You got it right, because I was going to say 50.
Okay.
So.
No, it says incorrect. Oh, yeah, correct. Okay. So the second one we got wrong.
Yeah.
We so got it's this. 25.
A 60K starting salary for teachers. Not a single state meets that bar. That's crazy. Incorrect. Oh, it's 16 to 1.
Wow. Well, maybe they are including all. We didn't even think about all the rural areas.
Yeah, I guess.
See, we teach in an urban area.
Correct.
So I wonder if rural, because you would like my parents, their graduating class was 35 people.
On average, in the fall of 2024, for all grade levels, there will be 15.8 students assigned to a single teacher on average in public schools. The state with the highest student-to-teacher ratio is Arizona with 23.6 students. The state with the lowest is Vermont.
It's Vermont.
10? That's wild. That's crazy. What I was going to say about this earlier when we were looking at it is I've had classes of 16 and I really like them, but my favorite classes were always between 20 and 25. Always.
Yeah. I think it's a
sweet spot when you're, especially when you're doing a lot of collaborative work. If a class is too small, you're not going to get a lot of collaboration because kids are too weird about it. Like, well, not weird, but like they're standoffish for the communication piece. And like, even if they're talking in groups, like it's too quiet in the room so they can hear. So they're less likely, like in bigger classes, you can almost get a lot more buy-in. That's interesting. Look at that, guys. Class sizes. They're small.
I've taught like as low as 10 or 8 actually. And the thing about having that lower number, you can individually conference and meet with those kids individually. That is helpful. But I'm like you, I like to do a variety of things. So I like a little bit of a larger classroom, but I think 30 gets a bit difficult to, you don't have enough space. 30 in a larger space is better, but most of my spaces were too small for 30 and to be able to do everything I wanted to do.
All right. Correct. I said 20%.
Our teachers of color. Yes, we got that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I figured that because I follow I follow a lot of people who, you know, advocate for, you know, just the more diverse groups, you know, joining the teacher ranks and whatnot. Yeah. And so I kind of guessed that one.
Good job. We got
this one correct too. Half of teachers said that teacher morale at their school is worse than a year ago. I mean, this is the most obvious one to me because you never hear any good stories about education ever, anywhere.
Not anymore, definitely. And the thing is we're having, I mean, I know in Texas we're having such a teacher shortage that can't get people to.
Correct.
I mean, they're actually, I think, skipping a lot of corners, if you will, cutting corners and all that stuff, just trying to get shortcuts and all kinds of stuff to get teachers in. I mean, for me, when I became a teacher, I had to have a bachelor degree with some sort of major or minor in education just to be able to get my foot in the door.
So you want to hear something funny about that?
Mm-hmm.
Is I come at this from a weird angle because I'm alternatively certified.
Yeah, yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't necessarily disagree that you should have a degree in something, right? Because that's where, you know, being a, and I think this came with No Child Left Behind. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but the whole mm-hmm. being, I forget what they call it, not a certified teacher. It's called a highly qualified educator or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can be hired as a teacher that isn't highly qualified, but the school has to send a letter out to parents saying that that's what you are. And no school wants to do that. And I think there's some financial things that actually hurt the school too in that way. And so and that's where alternative certifications came from, because there was a teacher shortage, like not enough people want to go to school and get mm-hmm. college debt in order to do this. And like, okay, well, we can rope more people in by letting them pass a content test. And as long as they have a bachelor degree over a certain GPA, yep. they're good to go. And it's interesting because that was my way in. But I got to tell you, there is a whole lot of alternatively certified educators that probably shouldn't be. And the ones that go to school to do it, it's interesting because alternatively certified, you can find great people. I've met a lot. But... Yeah. Their biggest issue is that a lot of them don't always have the passion for the work. And so they'll quit early because they have other skill sets they can go off and do. People that go to school to be a teacher, like a English teacher that, you know, they get their minor or major in English or whatever. A lot of them love the content, but don't necessarily have the current work ethic of what it takes in modern public schools to stay. And so it's like an opposite problem on both ends. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know. I know that when I had to do student teaching or whatever, you know, I mean, that's quite a bit of invested time, you know, of not getting paid. And so I guess you stick to it or you don't, right? Mm-hmm. But you're not getting paid. So no. I mean, the only one that's harmed, I guess, is the one who spent all that time and decided this is not for me. I think what I was noticing with a lot of the alternative certified is they're actually doing their, if you will, student teaching with their first year on the job. Really helps that person. But to me, that puts the pressure that you have to perform in that very first year. No matter what, especially in today's testing environment and stuff. Whereas mm-hmm. when I was student teaching, I had somebody in the room with me all the time guiding me, you know, at least for half a semester before they let me loose on my own. And now they're letting them loose on their own first. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about learning on the job. And sometimes if the school district or the school itself doesn't spend a little extra time with those teachers, then I think sometimes you're letting them flail and there's really no reason for that, but there's just no time or money to be in there with them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we became instructional coaches, is because we were finding out that a lot of teachers were just being thrown out there and their mentors were often alternative, you know, doing their work there, but they weren't on the campus. So I think one of the ideas for us being instructional coaches was so that we could coach them up.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I don't know. It's just a thought.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I do think they're cutting corners. I think they are a little bit, just because I just kind of noticed that a little bit, like they're hiring them before they're even certified. They're a lot of emergency certifications before. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I know that there was one person that was hired that, you know, they had to send the letter out and everything, but after five times trying to take the test, they mm-hmm. spent that whole year trying to take the test. They never did. make it. So we had a whole year of a non-certified teacher who couldn't pass the test, you know, for their content that they were hired for. So I think, to me, that's what I mean by cutting corners a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to have somebody in there.
Here's what we got wrong. Teacher morale. Students, I told you.
You did. You were right.
Students. 65% of the respondents surveyed said that students had a major impact on worker and morale. Principals were close behind with 57. So,
So we're like, where I was going with that is, yeah, it's the students, but if the principals can help you get it under control, then I just think it all ties back to whatever disciplinary strategy or whatever program that your school is doing. And I think too, if they're when I was instructing teachers, I just feel like you have to have as many as possible little levels in your own classroom system before you give it to the principal. The minute you give it to the principal, and you're now a principal, so you can agree or disagree with me, but the minute you give it to the principal, it's no longer yours. And I think a lot of teachers try to hang on to it after they send it off. So if you don't want the principal, if you don't agree with your principal in the way they met, you better keep them in your room as long as you can. But there is a certain point in time where there's always that clause of a circumstance where, like, maybe they pick up a chair and throw it across the room at a kid. I mean, you don't want them in there. I mean, that's an immediate removal. So you've got that immediate removal clause. Now, here's where I think the issue happens is if you have one of those immediate removal clauses and your principals are like, well, you know, you should send them out too early. You need to, and they send them back. I had one kid that was cussing up a storm in one school. He got sent back to my room 3 times. I finally just put him out in the hallway. I'm like, no, you can't come in here anymore. But I sent them out and I called and even said, look, he cannot come back into my room. And they kept sending him back in. And it's like, so then you get frustrated. Now, the students' behavior was very frustrating and ruined the whole classroom that day. Right. Because he was mad at a kid who looked at his girlfriend somewhere else in the school day. And they just happened to have the class together and he wouldn't let it go. And so that's what it was about. It's like, no, he needs to be removed, put him in the counselor's office, wherever. But don't let him back into my room. I'll send you some work because I need to teach the whole group. But they kept sending him back in and I followed all my rules, you know. But they didn't really support any kind of immediate removal clause. So I think there needs to be a clear guide between the principal and what they expect and what they're going to support and what the teachers have to do and what they're going to do and what they're supporting. I think one of the best schools that I worked for when it came to discipline was where they told us exactly what they wanted on the walls, right, as far as like the rules. And then they came by and checked your rules. And then we had to turn in our discipline plan. Now, we got to choose our own classroom discipline plan, but we had to have it approved. And so our principals had a file of our own personal discipline plans. So when we sent a kid in, they looked to see, they got to where they knew us. It was a middle school, so it wasn't like a lot of teachers. But the thing is they approved our discipline plan. I could run it the way I wanted to as long as I followed it. And if I followed it and I made the phone calls that they expected me to have and I had evidence of that, then, I mean, so when I finally would write a kid to the school, it was funny because I would finally write a student up, the kids would finally go, Miss Ochoa, when you write that person up, they never come back. And they come back. And so I followed that plan, but it was very clear my expectations, and that was probably my best. So, and the students knew that when they were sent, it was business. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think it made a difference. So yeah, I think that's definitely a close first and second.
Yeah. I think this is a misdirected thing. You can't, I mean, students are students, kids are kids, but
create systems. But you can have a whole entire, even if you have a system in place, you can have that classroom. It seems like mine's second period. It used to be seventh. And last few years, it was second. Okay, we got this one right.
Most teachers surveyed said there'd be they would encourage their children to become teachers. False. 79% of respondents to the teacher said they were unlikely to recommend the profession. Holy moly. There's your teacher
shortage. That's sad. There it is right there. It sure is. That's sad, actually. My mother and dad, they encouraged me. But they taught at a different time. And I also taught at a different time than today. But they encouraged me to become a teacher. As you know, because my whole entire family are teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, not every one of them.
Outside of teaching, teachers spend the most amount of time per week planning.
There we go.
6 hours per week. I had that one.
Yeah. Okay. Compared to, okay.
Look at us. We're on a roll. That means we got the next few wrong. Individual planning and preparation time. You're right. That's what they wanted more of. 34% mm-hmm. said they wish they could spend more time. So it's the one thing they do the most, and it's the one thing they need more of.
Yeah, and I think
because of the system.
Yeah, and I think the deal is they're doing it at home.
Correct.
There's not time built into the day for them to do it. Now you say, oh, yeah, but we have a conference period and we have a PLC period. But the PLC period is for teamwork and planning time with colleagues. It's not with individual planning and preparation time. Correct. And when I was running PLCs, that was one of the complaints. Time. I need time, Pam. I don't need another meeting with you. And it's like, OK, well, then what we'll do is we'll have one day. You know, so I had to work that in. They still had to meet with me because that was a requirement. But I had it where you would have some time. Well, and I got talked to about that, but I did do that.
There is a piece to this that I think is important that schools have just kind of ignored. And it's something mm-hmm. I try to allow in my teams where I'm at, which is time also means time to like sit and think and vent. Oh, that's true. And have normal conversations and enjoy your work colleagues and have shenanigans and, you know, be silly. Like a good work environment has those things. And it's like, yeah, if you're you can't constantly plan and work and plan and work and grade and plan and work. It's just that's what drives people out because there's no breaks. Mm-hmm. Like I just teaching is one of the most stressful things that can happen, but it gets infinitely better when you have like how many times did we all sit around and talk about the day, like midday PLC? There's times where we might have planned for 5 minutes and then we spent the rest of the 40 minutes truly just like decompressing before that last period of the day.
Well, you know, even with that, remember we even had our principal come in and go, oh my gosh, people I can enjoy. Can I just sit here for a second and decompress yeah. with y'all?
I mean, as a principal now, right. I'll go mm-hmm. find classrooms or PLCs that I just enjoy. And I'll just go uh-huh. sit there with them. And I'm like, hey guys, and I'll yeah. like, you know, rob 5 minutes of peace. I'm like, all right, back to the grind.
Yeah. And I mean, but I think that that's not built in. Like you said, it's not built into the system.
Well, it's not
but
even valued.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. In a lot of
systems. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I ran it. Okay. So I was with my mom and dad and, you know, they're both teachers. And as we were eating at this place, these two people and my parents had taught with them. And my dad actually shared a classroom with this lady. And so she sat down and they started talking. And her comment was, you know, Ray, those were the best days. I mean, you know, life went on and they moved to other places or they retired. But they said, you know, we can never go back. But we were a family. Weren't we a family? Don't you remember being a family? And, you know, I really do remember that when I was a kid of theirs, because I remember all the coaches and some of the teachers. Like, I can still tell you they're teacher friends. I'm still friends with some. I mean, like when I go and I'll talk to them, like when we run into each other, they're all like in their 70s and 80s now. But the whole thing is when they all talk about the good old times. And as a matter of fact, it was so much so that when I had my student reunion, you know, class reunion this last year, that was a great class. And, you know, we just won everything. It seemed like it was a great class, but our students actually invited the teachers. We had a ton of teachers. They filled up the whole patio of the place where we were at, and they were all teachers, and people would go and sit down and talk with them and all that, you know. So all the teachers sat down and just from that group, and they just had a good time talking and everything. So I think there was a time where, you know, I remember even like after football games, they would all meet and have hot cocoa and all the families were there. I knew all my teacher friend, my parents, teachers, friends, families. I mean, they all just got together and they really were like a family. And mm-hmm. so I don't think we don't have that anymore. You know, we don't have that. And I know we did when I first started teaching. It was like that where I was at. And everybody seemed to like everybody. And then somewhere along the way, I think mainly with the testing, became more of a competitive situation. When you're competing against each other's schools in the district, this and that, it kind of stopped a little bit. No. But anyway, I digress, I guess.
No, you're good.
But we don't have that time. We don't have that time anymore.
We got this one wrong coming up.
Oh,
lowest
no.
rated task. So I said meetings.
So it was meetings.
They wanted to spend more time in meetings, committee work, IEPs, faculty.
And that was my first one. So I'm going to say if you would have gone with my first one, we would have had that one.
A third of respondents. That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know why I thought this. No one likes that.
No,
I do it all day long, and I still don't like it all the time. I actually really do a lot more these days, which is funny. Because, like, I just get to the point where, like, I call and they're like, hi, Mr. Chastain. Hey, Mr. Chastain. Hey, it's Mr. Chastain. Oh, what did they do now? You know, it's
like. Yeah, yeah. You get a relationship. Well, that's the thing about communicating with parents and guardians. The more you do, you have to, teachers, I mean, it really is something. I'm not, if I don't have to, I'll be the first one to not. Mainly because they took away a lot of time to do it. But when we had time, when I used to have two conference periods, and I did have two, we had a planning period and a conference period. The conference period was so that you could conference with parents. That's what was expected of you. And you were expected to be on that phone talking to the parents during conference period. So the school that I did work for, the one I was talking to you about where they had the discipline plan. Well, one of the things they had us do is we had to record and say how many times we talked to the parents. But the more I did talk to the parents, the more of a relationship I had with them. It really did help in the long run. It really did. But I think what happens in these lower income schools, probably these urban schools that, you know, where I told you the parents are working all the time, they don't have time to talk to them. They don't have time. And a lot of times they didn't have a good relationship in school, some of them. So if you've got parents who didn't have a good relationship in school, and then now their kids aren't having a good relationship in mm-hmm. school, they don't want to talk to teachers. They don't want to talk to schools. They don't want to be hassled. So as a result, then the teachers are like, I don't want to call that. I don't want to get yelled at. I don't want to, you know, but I think the more you do it, the easier it becomes and the more you don't mind it. But you have to force yourself to do it.
For sure.
But I don't think we provide time. I mean, I think that was my problem the last 2 years. It's just the time to do it. You'd have to stay after school to do it.
You know,
they're busy
funny.
Picking up their kids or get there early while they're busy taking their kids to school. It was the only time I had.
What's funny about that is I work with an AP who he said this when I first started there, and I've learned it's pretty true. He was like, I get most of my work done after 4 o'clock. Because from 8 to 4, I'm dealing with kids and problems and, you know, all the things that come up during a day. And once the bell rings, then I can sit in my office and take care of my paperwork. I can call the 5 families that I need to contact. I can, you know, write those 3 emails that I need to write. And it's an interesting thing. So it doesn't, you know, I have 600 sophomore or juniors that I'm responsible for, and that's just the kids that I'm personally responsible for. I still run into all kinds of other issues, including, you know, an entirely English department, entire CTE department, and last one.
Oh, we got it wrong.
Asked what additional training they needed, and they said professional development on classroom management. They said false. I wonder what it is. 19% said they didn't need PD right now. Only 12% they could use PD on classroom management. The highest share of teachers. So they don't want any PD. That's right.
That explains a lot right there. I mean, you know.
And I get it. I'm laughing.
I wonder why I'm not.
It's not at
them.
No, it's not even. It's the. I laugh because it's. That's the state of education right now is you have a group of people that are so burnt out. The last thing they want is more education because they're just trying to survive.
Well, because they're sitting there in that PD and they're thinking, man, I could get that grading done. I need that individual time that I can.
And PD's so bad is the problem.
And well, it's not. I mean, to me, if you can't take it home immediately to your classroom and do it, as far as especially professional development, classroom stuff, then it's not worth it. Like if I go, like when I taught all of those teachers, right? I don't think there wasn't anything you couldn't try the next day in your own classroom.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But I was thinking, the reason I thought yes for classroom management is if that student is the problem, right, for morale, then the problem is you don't know, maybe you can't deal with them. So with today's child, maybe we do need some, but maybe what we're teaching them isn't working. Maybe what we're doing, our professional development people, especially like classroom management, first of all, they teach you a system that the whole school doesn't follow. Mm-hmm. They say they do, but then they don't. And so because it breaks down all the time, and it breaks down because, like you said, they're having to, I don't know. I mean, I think there's so many discipline issues now that we're all sending them to you guys, to the principals. He says he doesn't have time to deal with his other work all day. Well, the teachers don't either. So I think we have to have, but I think if you make the system, I don't know. I just think that if the system, the discipline system, we've taken so much control away. Because I think when I first started teaching, I could actually paddle a child. Now, whether you agree with that or not, that was actually a thing. And that was a choice I had to give. And I actually paddled a child. I will tell you, when that child walked back into the classroom, it was the best behaved classroom I've ever had. Because he was like in tears. But like my dad, I mean, that's what they did. They paddled and then they told the parents. And when the parents got home, the kid got paddled again, you know, at home. And so that's abusive. But I think it was a different, I guess it could have been. I don't know if it's abusive, if it's done right. It's abusive if it's taken advantage of. And I don't know if I want other people touching my child. So I can see. Yeah, I mean, because they can't control it. I don't know how hard they hit or whatever, and I don't want my child injured. So I can see why you don't have it, but there's got to be some alternative things that you can do creatively, I guess, that isn't abuse, but actually the children don't like to do. And I think that's hard. I think we're having a hard time finding that now. Because, I mean, aren't you kind of restricted in what you can do? Even as a principal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think we're so restricted that the kids are like, well, what are you going to do about it? I'll just act this way because what are you going to do about it? You can't do nothing. You're just a teacher. You can't do nothing. So I think we have too much of that going on. I don't have the answer right now, but maybe that's why they don't want professional development, because they go back into that classroom and they try whatever they've taught. And if it's not, it's like, okay, so if you are going like, I'm going to send you, Jacob, because you need some help with classroom management. I was in there the other day. I got the perfect management. I'm going to send you to that. So you get sent to that. They tell you all the stuff. You come back. You try it in the classroom. I wasn't there. I don't know what they taught you. And I'm telling you, this is not our school policy. So why'd you send me there? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, but I can see that could be an issue.
Well, Ochoa, you know, there's one last thing I want to say.
One last thing?
For anyone that wants to know where did quality PD go and what has ruined teacher PD, episodes number 346 and 347 is with Pam Ochoa on the Teach Me Teacher podcast. Believe it or not, her and I talk even more than on this show. And we did, I did a two-part episode with her on Teach Me Teacher where we talk about and talk about PD and the importance of it and what's been ruined and so much more. So go check that out, Craft and Draft fans, if you haven't jumped there. You don't even got to subscribe to Teach Me Teacher, but consider it a bonus episode from us to you over there on Teach Me Teacher. But ladies and gentlemen, that's Pam Ochoa. I'm Jacob Chesse. We're two educators down here in the state of Texas doing what we love, talking about reading, writing, workshop, and all of the woes and testing our knowledge, which is about 60%. So I guess I got a little bit more work to do before I get my own campus. In any case, ladies and gentlemen, subscribe so you don't miss any other episodes. We drop them pretty much every single Friday. If not Friday, then Saturday. If not Saturday, then Sunday. But mostly
but usually every, by the weekend.
Yeah, by the weekend. Things happen. It is what it is. Join us on Patreon if you would like, or you can watch the video of this if you want to see the quiz in front of you. We'll probably link the quiz so you can take it yourself for some reason, or if you want to give it to your professional development community. Maybe you want to see if someone else, maybe you want to see if your parents know, your grandparents. Send it to that parent that emailed you a negative thing and be like, you know nothing about my job. Take this quiz. just kidding. Don't do that. I do not recommend that. But come back next week for another fantastic episode and know that we are here
for you.